Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First, it's free. How much better does it get? Second, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Third, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever your audience is tuning in, your podcast will be there. Fourth, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Look at us. We have less than 100 listeners per episode, yet we still make money on ads. Granted, it's not a lot, but we still make money. And finally, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm. That's Anchor, the thing you throw off your boat, .fm to get started.
Another edition of the JMU Sports News Podcast. I am Bennett Conlin, joined by Jack Fitzpatrick. And we got to start with Jack was doing some intel over the weekend. Some of those G5 members, he was actually doing play-by-play for Charlotte.
Yeah, so I know that the CUSA, not a conference I want to be in, if I'm being completely honest. Charlotte was great. I kind of get the vibes from Charlotte that, I mean, granted, their football program's only been around for like 7 years at this point. But I get the vibe that they're kind of like JMU, where like they're in the CUSA, but they have a lot loftier expectations for themselves. And Will Healy, listen to this. Will Healy is probably the coolest coach. Like Cignetti is kind, no offense to Cignetti, but he's kind of like very cut and dry. He's going to tell it like it is, and he's going to say just very like classic old school coach. And Houston, we all loved him, but he's very coach speak, and the only reason that worked was because they continued to win and he had cool pregame speeches, you know?
Yep.
Will Healy is like a genuine person, and after the postgame press conference, he makes, and now they do it just on their own, each player go up to the media who goes to the press conference, thank them for coming to the press conference, and then like has genuine conversation with them and shakes each one of their hands.
Wow.
I've never seen a school do that. And like, and before the post-game press conference, he goes up to each person in the media and he fist bumped him because it's COVID, but he used to handshake each one and he thanked everyone for coming.
Healy is a fast riser. He strikes me as one that could get a bigger job pretty darn soon if he wants it.
He's 36. He's now, I think, 12-10 during his time at Charlotte. Great first year, 2-4 last year during COVID, but granted they had 9 cancellations and just a weird season overall. And now he's 2-0. Now don't ask Dom, our friend of ours, who he's kind of low on Charlotte. He thinks they're not that great. But I think Will Healy's a great coach that like just squeezes all he can out of his players. And I'm really glad that the JMU Sports News podcast has started with a 2.5 minute talk on the state of Charlotte football.
This is why people tune in. And I don't know if we want to do a realignment talk now or if we want to save it as a little treat. What do we think?
I think we should go into it now because, I mean, what a great segue. And then we'll talk Maine really quickly. Full disclosure, I didn't catch much of the game because I was in the press box for Charlotte.
You're
in the press box for UVA during the UVA beatdown of Illinois, where it seemed like every play it was a 50-yard completion for a touchdown.
Yeah, they kind of routed them. So we'll do realignment. We'll talk briefly on Maine. I've seen highlights and clips and things, but not like a deep dive. And then obviously the Weber State matchup, which I think JMU fans are really excited for. I know Weber State fans seem pretty excited as well. So it should be a hell of a game.
Oh, I'm excited for that game. Remember when I texted you? Was it over this summer? Frank. Sorry, my dog was trying to eat my cat's litter.
We've all been there before.
Yeah, we've all been there. remember when I texted you and I said, let's go to Ogden?
Hey, I mean, it would have been cool if, you know, job didn't get in the way.
And then it seemed like it's 2 hours away from, like, any civilization.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you have to fly into Salt Lake City or something and then drive.
So then that quickly turned like a $500 ticket into like a $1,000 round trip because rental cars are expensive.
It could be a very pricey trip, but an exciting one if you're able to go. If you're on the West Coast and you're a JMU fan, you rarely get chances to see him, so that's pretty darn cool. But yeah, we're starting realignment. Really good. A good segue there. No, but it's interesting because I feel like the talk a couple weeks ago was kind of like, well, all group of five stuff's going to take time to like shuffle out, right? It was like Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC, and then you've got, they're like, oh, everything would take a little bit longer. The Big 12 came and grabbed 3 AAC members plus BYU. So the Big 12, I was talking about how the Big 12 was like going to die. Big 12 is fighting back.
I really thought that like during that time when it was announced they were leaving, I thought for sure that the Pac-12 was going to poach some, the AAC was going to poach some.
Yeah.
But the Big 12 went ahead and took what? Houston, Cincy, and UCF.
Yeah. And
the three biggest players in the AAC that makes it attractive for JMU to go to.
Yeah, so I was saying, I think on one of the podcasts, I said that JMU had no chance of going to the American because I thought the American was going to get a lot stronger. Now JMU seems like it's a legitimate team in terms of being in the mix for the American, Sun Belt, Conference USA. JMU is going to have some sort of option or maybe options. It's just a matter of who they're able to go with in terms of which teams are willing to like stay in the Sun Belt, which teams might leave the American. Like there's a lot of moving pieces, but it seems like JMU is going to actually have a chance to do something.
And yeah, I mean, because now we don't know AAC. Honestly, the AAC and Sun Belt at this point are almost on level playing fields, especially with who the Big 12 poached from the AAC. So it'll be really interesting to see if the AAC, we're going to say that a lot during this podcast, will try and poach any Sun Belt people over. But I think as it stands here on what, September 15th, 2021, as it stands, I think the Sun Belt is a better conference than the American.
See, I was going back and forth on that. And then I started looking at the American, which still allegedly is going to be potentially have a better TV deal. They still have Memphis, although Memphis might eventually end up leaving.
Memphis is great for basketball, but I mean,
they've still had some pretty good football teams compared to, you look at some of the Sun Belt teams are not all that. They've got a couple good teams.
They have the great Texas State. What do you mean?
Yeah, that the Sun Belt like West as it could potentially be is not exciting to me. But even like Temple's pretty bad. So you've got that. East Carolina is one that I know they haven't been great with Mike Houston, but I'd still be kind of interested there. But then after that, it is kind of weak. I mean, you look at Tulane, Tulsa, and sometimes those are good football teams, South Florida, but it doesn't make any geographic sense for JMU. Like, I have no interest in JMU playing Tulsa. I really don't care about that game. So it would depend on what the American could add, because my stance at this point, and this is maybe just me, is like, I want to be wherever the hell Appalachian State is.
See, I want to be where the ranked teams are. And right now, that's Coastal, and that's – is App State ranked right now?
They are not. They lost to Miami by 2 the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They ended up losing that. But App State's a formidable force. And, yes, I mean, rekindle that. And then not to mention of Georgia Southern and Georgia State, one of them was a CAA school for a brief second, too. I believe it was Southern, Georgia Southern.
There's some, like, rivalry stuff there, potentially.
I think the Sun Belt's the better option.
I think the Sun Belt's better if it, like, keeps teams. Because if you have, like, defections from it. Like, if you're with Appalachian State, there was the – I would say this as I pulled it up. It's from the JMU Game Day account, which appeared to just be – a message board rumor that was then tweeted out, but it was saying that it was saying that JMU would go with Marshall, Old Dominion, and Southern Miss to the Sun Belt. And the Sun Belt.
ODU has no ability to leave. ODU has no money, so they can't pay out the CUSA.
ODU's got a pretty big athletic budget compared to some of these teams. So that's really the only thing.
1.5 million just sitting there to leave the CUSA.
I think after not winning. I think they could scrap something together with some donors, maybe. I don't know. I don't totally know their financial situation. I know they have a decent budget, which is really the only reason they're attractive to anyone, because they suck. So you've got, although they did beat Hampton, which is a pretty good FCS school.
Okay.
No, but the Sun Belt East, as this rumor says, would be JMU, App State, Marshall, Old Dominion, Coastal Carolina, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, which would obviously be phenomenal for that division. It does not seem like that is all that accurate in terms of like what other people have heard and what people are really going for. So I'm not sure that will actually happen. That completely seemed like some sort of my dad told me that she said that my cousin said that Jeff Bourne told him at the gas station. Like, I don't know how legit that is.
Yeah, that's not happening.
it would be really cool, but it seemed, and then there was some like follow-up tweets that were like, well, no, this is solved. They can also go to the American and they can also go.
They could also go to the Patriot League. Right. They could also go to the Pioneer League. They could also go to the Missouri Valley.
Yeah. It's and then there were some actual reports from, like, national writers, like with The Athletic and then Matt Brown, who we've had on the podcast briefly once, that JMU is kind of looking, and that's what everyone sort of heard. The American and Sun Belt both seem like they're in play. It's going to depend on what other people do, too, and how it all works out. But the thing that is really interesting, I think the Athletic report had this, is that like the geographic conference that everyone's rooting for, where it's like all the conferences split up and they just go with like who's close to each other? No, it does not seem like it's happening because it's about money. And like anyone who can get to the American, which appears to be the moneymaker, is going to try to go there.
Yeah, I guess that is true with the American, that it has the best group of five TV deal. So I think from a financial standpoint, from a all of that standpoint, that's probably the best bet. But from a geographical, from a regional rivalries, from a success within the last 2 years, I think Sun Belt's the better one.
Sun Belt, yeah, when you take away some of those AAC teams, it's got some pop. But if the Sun Belt grabs like Appalachian State, and then you're looking at a division with Appalachian State and East Carolina, and maybe you've got a –
you just want to follow App State. If the AAC takes App State, you want to go AAC.
I think being with Appalachian State is a very good move, because Appalachian State is like way on the up and up as a program. They play really good football. There's a rivalry history there. I think that's a team to follow, depending on where they go. I think they're if you're with them, I think you're in a pretty decent spot.
Yeah, It is a lot of fun. But I think if you ask me right now, right this second, I would want JMU to go Sun Belt. I think Sun Belt, but I think Bourne wants to go AAC. And I think both are going to be on the table.
I hope whatever we get has some regional ties and it has teams that can like legitimately compete in multiple sports. So like some solid football ones. And then it would also be cool. Like Sun Belt's got Louisiana, right? Like they're a softball powerhouse.
Yeah. Also, I think it's worth noting that the AAC, because it has such a good TV deal, is in a position unlike the Sun Belt where they're kind of able to poach from group of fives. So it might be less
likely. That's what it seems like.
Like they're, they, It depends on how they want to position themselves. If they want to position themselves for success in the next 2 to 5 years, they're going to poach from group of fives. If they want to set themselves up for a little bit further down, like down the line success, then they'll bring in JMU. But I would not be surprised if we saw a group of five just poach 3 or 4 teams from group of fives, and then those group of five scramble to try and fill it. Do you think if Conference USA comes calling, I remember we asked this question last offseason, if the Sun Belt comes calling, do you pick up the phone? And we said, hang up. Now we're saying, pick it up and go right away. So now I ask, if everything shakes out, AAC pulls a few players from the Sun Belt, things are shaking up, and it looks like CUSA is the only place that's going to have an opening for JMU. Would you rather stay in the CAA or go CUSA?
I'd scrap the budget a little more and stay in the CAA. I don't think the Conference USA, I wouldn't be surprised if that got like basically killed. It just doesn't seem like it's positioned well. It doesn't seem like the teams are that good.
And it's like, really weird geographically. Like if you look at UTSA and UTEP, like they're just randomly over there in Texas.
You bring up, like, they have a couple of teams that I think I'd be very interested in being associated with. You look at like UAB is kind of an interesting one where like they've gotten sneaky good at football. Marshall, like, yeah, sign me up for Marshall. If they could get with Marshall, that'd be sweet. ODU, I like from the geographic perspective and assume they'll eventually get less crappy at football. And then like Southern Miss has a really good football team too. So, and even like kind of interested in Charlotte a little bit. I haven't looked into their budget all that much or anything, but like from a football perspective, you mentioned them where they're trying to grow a little, like that's somewhat regional and interesting. So I would not be thrilled about joining that league. I'd be very thrilled if some CUSA teams left somewhere and went with JMU.
Yeah, you sound like you really like CUSA East, but the West part of it is where you're like, I would not want to play UTEP in volleyball on a February Wednesday.
Yep. And I feel like some of those teams, Marshall, ODU, I think they can kind of, Southern Miss even, can kind of see a little bit the writing on the wall that like, all right, this might get scrapped a little bit.
Can ODU though? ODU is like a poverty program right now. Like we're talking about ODU, like there's potential for ODU is bad.
I could still see them coming, improving. Like I could see them becoming a decent group of five team. Like they had, like a couple of years ago, they beat Virginia Tech. Like they have.
Yeah. So did JMU.
Yeah. Well, JMU, we're talking about like they're this.
Okay,
big old thing. I think there's potential there. I think they're gonna be better this year, which is not a high bar, but like they had some really rough coaching and stuff, but like they had some guys who could play. I think if they add the right coach in there, I think they could be decent. I mean, they gave UVA a run a couple of years ago and they stunk, but like they had a quarterback and linebacker. It was like, oh, like those guys can weirdly play. So I feel like they could find a way to make it work. It's a talent rich area. So I'm not opposed to them, but they're obviously like a big, like you got to wait for them to grow. Although I think JMU moves up, you kind of got to wait for JMU to grow. Like right now, we'll talk about this soon. Their talent advantage over like Maine is stupid. Like they have no business being on the same field as Antoine Wells. They can't cover him.
Yeah, that's actually the perfect segue into this Maine game. I mean, you look at it, it's 55-7, right? You have the total, that's first downs. I should have done this so much better. Total yards, like this just shows the disparity in talent. JMU is lacking Mike Green. I don't think Green played.
He did not.
MJ Hampton.
Yep.
Wesley McCormick is week one playing.
And I think he got hurt again.
Yeah, so that. I don't think Percy played.
Nope, he's resting for Weber, essentially.
Liam Fernadel is out for the season, and the backup left tackle is playing. And they outgained them 512 yards to 194. They didn't even crack 200 yards of total offense. And you're telling me that they're the same conference?
It's really interesting because, like, JMU's rushing attack is normally what does the damage. Instead, it was Cole Johnson going off. But you look at the running backs. Nobody had 10 carries, so like they were fine slinging the ball around, which is kind of exciting moving forward. But the running was like reasonably productive.
I mean,
they
had everyone averaged more than 6.1 yards per carry.
Yeah, the three guys who like legit got carries. So like they had some solid runs. And I think the category that really stands out to me is you can see like gained yards and then lost yards. Cole Johnson apparently took a sack, and that's that's it. Like, no one lost yards on a carry. And then the quarterback throws for what, 370 or 379, 25 for 30, four touchdowns, no picks, and you didn't lose yards on a carry. Like, just a demolition of a team that is supposed to be middle of the pack CAA.
Yeah, this is a main team that, I mean, I didn't do my power rankings last week. I didn't have the time. Hopefully I'll try to get to them this week. Life is crazy, man. Not working from home. I didn't realize how much just like BS I did while working. Hopefully my employers aren't listening. But if Maine is a team that like they gave Delaware, granted it was a fluke play here, a fluke play there, and a block punt for a touchdown that turned into 24 points. I mean, they scored 24 points in a quarter, and they were up on Maine at halftime. And here's a team that then put up 7 points in a game.
They just, like, I mean, it was just a complete mismatch, and it was supposed to be a team that was decent. I mean, it was what Cole Johnson did was really something.
What him and Antoine Wells did together. Antoine Wells, 8 receptions, 179 yards, 2 touchdowns. Cole, 25 for 30, 379, 4 touchdowns. Long of 73. Like, granted, I didn't get to watch the game. I mean, there was a point where I was watching the game, and then I would look down to jot some notes on the Charlotte football game, and then I would look up back to my screen, and then they're kicking off again. Like, what, 10 points, 14, 17? And that's not even, like, an outburst for, like, 24 points in a single quarter and then, like, a touchdown in the third. That's a consistent 2 to 3 scores a quarter, and they just put that up for 55 points.
Yeah, I mean, they scored at least 10 points in every quarter. Like, it was just a really strong showing. Wells is really, really good, which we all knew. But, like, he had one where he runs a deep ball, catches the ball. The DB, like, falls on his face, and he takes it in for the 73-yard touchdown. Like, we've talked about wanting them to get Scott Bracey involved. He had a 4 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Chris Thornton, 6 for 71. Like, it was a really good group. They got Van Horst involved. Van Horst is now suspended and definitely had a alleged DWI in the Harrisburg area, so something to monitor there. They're without him, but I don't think that really changes much moving forward, because they're stacked, and if they give Cole Johnson time and he's going to play like this, like, it's very hard to see them losing. Because the CAA offensive player of the year preseason, Percy Osheobase, hasn't played a snap.
Have we gotten any more information on that, though? Because I thought it was weird that Mike Green, who was like a game time decision week one, no one knew he was not going to play. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we just pulled him out. Something came up. He's fine. And all of a sudden he's missing his second straight week. Percy, it's just a little hammy. He's fine, though. He'll probably play week two. And then he's out another week. MJ Hampton's been announced. He's out for a few weeks. Do we know any of these updates on these injuries? I know it's only Wednesday.
I hadn't looked this week. I assume both, or I think they're both going to play. It seemed like with Percy, it was like a nagging hamstring, and they just kind of wanted to be patient with it. And I think, I don't remember what Green's injury even was. Was it back? I think it was back.
I'm scrolling through Greg Medea's Twitter now to see if he's tweeted about it.
My guess is that they'll both go, was kind of what I would think, and that they were kind of being cautious with it. Although I mean, as crazy as it sounds, I don't know if they even need him.
They might need him against Weber. More,
I don't
so
know that they do.
Flight.
Definitely more so than who they played. I just don't know how much Weber's going to really make it a game. Like, I still have my doubts.
McCormick's out for a while.
Yeah, that's disappointing with him.
That's the biggest injury, regardless of Green. And I mean, like, they're great players, but they're also in position groups that are so deep that they don't necessarily, like, the defensive line's going to be fine. What worries me is that now Greg Ross and Taurus Carroll are pushed into the 1-2 role, and we kind of saw how Morehead State was able to pick them apart. Bringing Wesley McCormick in, putting him at the CB1, having Greg Ross go to CB2 and Taurus Carroll cover the slot, I thought was a lot better. But we'll see what it's like for a full season. That does just kind of worry me that McCormick's out for a while.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. It stinks for him. Weber State's kind of interesting because they were Bronson Barron, I believe is how it's pronounced, was the starting quarterback for them. And he hurt his knee in the win over Dixie State, which is a team.
Yeah, the vaunted Dixie State. Does their mascot start with a T?
I have no idea what they are.
I'm going to look it up now while you can talk.
He, He banged up his knee. They were saying it could be 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. My guess is that he does not play, which would leave them with Randall Johnson, who's a Middle Tennessee State transfer, 6'5".
The guy we thought that would start.
He's a big body who played. He played better than Barron did against Dixie State. So I'm really interested to see how they handle him because he's a dual threat guy with a little bit of ability.
Dixie State are the Trailblazers.
That's good stuff. That's really good stuff. Yeah. Hell of a matchup there.
Yeah, he didn't play well, though. And you might have just said this, and I was looking up the Dixie.
Yeah, he struggled in that game.
He's a tank. He's a big guy. And now
Johnson was good. Johnson? The tank was good. Randall Johnson's the Middle Tennessee guy.
Let me look up. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
The other guy struggled. The starter struggled.
Oh.
The initial starter struggled. And then Johnson came in when he got hurt, I guess, and actually played pretty well. Although he really didn't – I think he only threw 8 passes and ran 4 times. So it was like
– so quick little thing.
It was like in the second half he came in was I think what happened. So
okay. So do you worry about that type of quarterback playing against this offense, this defense?
I think kind of interesting, right? If he can move a little and stress them that way. And I don't know exactly what he brings. Like, he didn't win the starting job. But yeah. At the same time, maybe he brings like a spark with what he can do. He certainly looked good against Dixie State. But like the other thing with Weber across the board, they played Utah, an FBS team, and lost. And then they played Dixie State. So I have no idea what to expect out of them. They haven't played a real team yet.
Yeah, it's very – then they got blown out by Utah, and then they blow out Dixie State. So, I mean, right. It's kind of like JMU playing Morehead State than Maine.
I think Maine's a little more of like a team. But, yeah, Weber State is a test.
Here's my take, though. To me, Weber State is like Delaware. So I'm going to go like some really weird transitive property here. So please follow me if you can. Delaware's like Weber State. Maine played Delaware well overall. So in a way, Weber would have barely edged Maine.
I think it's –
did you follow me with that really weird transitive property?
Yes, I don't totally disagree. I think the only thing that maybe makes it interesting is the location.
Yeah, I think that's going to be huge. This is the farthest west JMU's ever gone. Cole Johnson does have family out in Utah. So a big, big thing. No, but seriously, it's a far road trip. It's weird. You don't get a lot of probably 6-hour plane rides week 3 of a football season. So I think that's as big of a matchup as this team is. And also, we say it, I think we said it last week, we said it the week before, Weber State wants to win. And I know that sounds stupid. You're like, you're listening to this and you say, well, no shit, Jack. Maine wanted to win last week and Morehead State wanted to win the week before. But like, this is personal. Like, we've taken – JMU has beaten Weber in the playoffs, what, 2 of the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, 2017, 2019.
Like – and in 2017, it was kind of in heartbreak fashion in a game they should have won. And there's still some guys that are around on JMU and on Weber State. And we're going into their house for the first time ever. We've beaten them down in Bridgeforth twice now. It kind of like the SEC, you know, where it just means more to the SEC schools. This game might just mean more to Weber. Now, is that enough to push them over the edge and win? Probably not. But it'll make for a darn good game.
That's kind of how I feel. Like, it definitely seems like one that JMU players would be like, oh, that's cool. And, like, Weber players would have circled. Like right.
This game, when it was announced.
Yes.
Weber was like, they're coming into our home. This is our time to make them pay. And then, meanwhile, JMU's sitting back on their hands like, bro, this is the regular season. Like, this does – we win when it matters. But I think that'll make it a game. But I still think JMU just wins in every – maybe not coaching, but they win in every other facet of the game.
Dang, going after Cignetti.
No, I'm not going after him. That's just more of a show of how good Jay Hill is.
Jay Hill's a really good coach.
Like, he turns this Weber State team into a national title contender, a top five, top 10 seed every year when he maybe doesn't have that type of talent every year.
It's impressive. And it's kind of like, I feel like we've waited for them to like have a quarterback that's killed us. And they did a decent, they've been like solid against us before, but they haven't really gone out of their minds dominating us. So I think that's something interesting. If Randall Johnson is the guy, can he have a big time performance? Like Weber State, they're a good team, but to beat a team like JMU, the quarterback's got to play well.
Yeah.
So like that's
not even play well, play perfect. You need to have a perfect offensive game plan against JMU.
Got to be really solid. And then you've also got to hope that, like, if Cole Johnson plays like he's playing, it's over. Like, so they need him to take a step back. They got to find a way to get pressure on him and disrupt the offense. And then, Weber State has to play really well to win this game.
Yeah, and I mean, they can.
Yes,
100%. They're good in the trenches. They're good every year in the trenches. They'll be possibly the best team JMU faces in the front seven all season. But again, like, can you generate pressure? Because having a great defensive front doesn't mean you can generate pressure. Can you get to him in under – can you get to Cole in under 3 seconds? And can you push the line of scrimmage back a yard or two and force the running backs to make cuts before they want to?
Here's a hot take. I kind of hope JMU either loses or that it's like a game. Like I think in my gut, I think they're going to rout him. Like I think JMU might kill them.
You think that, really?
I really do. Like if you like the running game's pretty solid. Cole is playing out of his mind. Weber State last year looked like out athletic by Southern Illinois in that playoff game.
Yeah.
Like I think Weber's a good team, but I have a lot of concerns about if they can actually hold up and compete with a JMU that I think has a chance to be really special this year. And I know Cignetti's going to have them ready to go. So, I mean, I hope it's a game. I hope it's one that like tests them, because then I'm going to be way more excited for that Delaware matchup. I mean, way more like, I think the season becomes more exciting if they drop a game. I just think they might kill them.
You want to know something crazy about this? I mean, granted, when we compare back to 2021, that spring season, there's always an asterisk next to it because it was just a weird season.
Yeah.
But of their five wins last year, only one of them came by 5 points or more.
One was a Hail Mary. Like they last year, they were not that good.
So against Idaho State, they destroyed them 49-21. Mm-hmm. They played number 23 UC Davis, who I don't think finished ranked.
I don't think they had a great year at the end now.
Yeah.
Or I don't even remember how many games these teams played.
But I don't think UC Davis finished well. Yeah. And they won 18-13. Northern Arizona, not a great team.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, I think, the game they won on a Hail Mary, 28-23. Southern Utah, 19-16. Idaho State, 20-15. Southern Illinois, they lost 34-31. So, like, close games. You're telling me you beat Southern Utah 19-16 and Southern Utah is a bad FCS school?
That's what like kind of worries me about this game is like I don't know how good Weber is. Like maybe I'm wrong. I kind of hope I'm wrong. But just from watching them, like I feel like they had stronger teams in the past. There's like to me still quarterback up in the air. Like I think Johnson has a chance to be kind of dynamic and give them a jolt. There's also a chance that like we realize pretty quickly why he didn't win the starting job. And he like struggles and JMU
Randall, offense. Right? You're talking Randall, not Cole.
Yes. Cole, I think Cole's going to have to play poorly. I think for Weber to really have a chance to win it. If he's remarkably good, it's just could be a rout.
Yeah. I think it'll be a close game, but I see how you can think it's a rout. Like I do think like I've said like a lot, I think Weber State is going to play up this game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like the emotion's going to be there. And granted, watch me say this and we can play this back next week and just see how wrong I was if it was a rout and they look flat. Cause that can also be kind of, you know, the double-edged sword. You come out with so much energy, you make mistakes. So it'll be interesting to see. I do think it'll be a very close game though.
Who you got winning?
JMU.
Love to hear that. Should we do say it, Pick'em?
You read my mind. I was actually going to take – can you pull up last week's and let's see how we did?
Yes, let me find this bad boy. It'll be neat your way. I don't even, do you know who he picked? Oh, you got the, thank God, because I don't remember any of it. All right. You want me to go through the results from last week, sir?
Yeah, my CAASports.com is not loading.
That's disappointing. Stony Brook.
Stony Brook won?
They took care of business over Colgate 24-3.
Okay.
Dan Hunt's a name to keep an eye on if we move FBS and Cignetti doesn't work out. Richmond, dominant win over Lehigh, 31-3.
Perfect.
JMU won 55-7, as we all know.
I said 31-17. You said 45-17. So
huge props.
The scores really mean nothing. We don't really add any points.
This is true.
The score that you got closer on that one.
Villanova over Bucknell, 55-3.
Villanova. Okay.
New Hampshire, 26-14 over the Tigers.
Frick, man.
Yeah, no doubt there.
Okay, so that tells me, you know what that tells me?
Towson's bad. Yeah, I think so. Who else we got? Delaware beat St. Francis, 27-10. No surprise. William and Mary won 24-3.
Against who?
Lafayette.
All right.
Elon, absolute battle, 24-23 win over Campbell.
So bad.
They're not a good football team. And then Rhode Island won 16-14 over the Undercuffler.
I want to let you know something, Bennett.
Yes.
You had a perfect week.
That's pretty impressive.
Please tell me you put some wild multi-leg parlay down on that.
I should have. I only bet Stony Brook to cover like 9.5, which they did easily. So I got that one.
Your record is now 18-1.
Did you only have one wrong last week? You're a Rhode Island guy. We're both Rhode Island guys now because of Taysom Hill.
I am 16-3.
That's still it's pretty good.
We're darn good at this, but I'm just pissed that you are.
We got to start putting this like graphic out again so people, or at least tweeting that we're good, so people know that we're smart.
You know, hopefully I could get some time this weekend or something and put something out about it. But CAA Power Rankings, you know, they take precedent over everything.
That is true.
That's what the people want. That's what I've been told through multiple Twitter DMs that don't exist. People want the power.
18-1 is pretty good. Look at me.
That's impressive. That is impressive. I'm impressed with my 16-3 too, but it's just overshadowed by your freaking one loss.
There've only been like a handful of toss-up games. I've gotten lucky on the toss-ups. Wofford with Elon's, like, I've correctly picked on the right side of them in their last
Towson UNH. Towson UNH was a toss-up too.
That was hard to tell. It's hard to know what the hell Towson has because they, you know, cowards or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Virus. All right. This week, Merrimack, Maine. Who you got?
Merrimack beat Holy Cross.
They did. They did.
That's crazy.
Holy Cross coming off FBS win number 6 of last week against UConn.
Over UConn, which UConn's like a Dixie D2 State caliber team.
They're a D2, maybe D3 school.
Maine just got the living crap kicked out of it twice. But I think playing Delaware and JMU, there's going to be a pretty big, like, oh my God, thank God it's Merrimack on the other side kind of moment. So I'm gonna take Maine at home.
I'm mad that you said that. I was going Maine no matter what. When you brought up Merrimack winning last week, I got excited that you might go Merrimack. But this game's also at Maine. They put up 24 points against Delaware and made it a game. But that game was at Maine. So I think it's different when you go up north, the New Hampshires, the Orinos, or however you pronounce O-R-O-N-O. Albany, Syracuse. I know who I'm picking. Who do you got?
Syracuse is bad, but they're not that bad. Syracuse should win this game.
Yes, that was the perfect way to tell me. Albany is bad, and they are that bad. Right? Yes. Syracuse is winning this game. New Hampshire, Lafayette.
New Hampshire all day long. I'm going – anytime you get a Patriot League team, I'm going against them, I think.
I agree. Colgate's ruined the Patriot League for me, so fade the Patriot. Rhode Island, exactly. Brown. How you feel about the Ivies?
Well, now I'm big on Rhode Island because they gritted out that win over Albany on the road.
No, you they can't be on Rhode Island. That's my thing.
I've been on Rhode Island since day one. I was anti-Rhode Island, and then you told me their quarterback was good and had a fun name, and I was like, whoa, okay. So I'll take Rhode Island again.
Rhode Island, they're not a national title contender. They're not anything like that. But they're a dark horse CAA contender where, like, at the end of the year, they might sneak into the playoffs. And they're going to, like, they're going to play a team that has, like, one CAA loss.
Yes.
That is battling for the CAA title and just absolutely destroy their hopes. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if – I don't know Rhode Island's schedule. I would not be surprised if Rhode Island played Delaware near the end of the season and Rhode Island just beat Delaware, like, by a touchdown.
They've got – I think they have them in October. I was scrolling down. Yeah, they got them October 9th in Rhode Island.
Yeah, that – see
– circle Delaware, that bad boy.
Delaware is going to go into that either undefeated or with one loss, and that loss to JMU. And then – or they might be – I don't – time is
– they got JMU after, yeah. So it could be a little upset action.
All right. So William & Mary Colgate.
I'll take William & Mary. I think this could be like a horrendous game. But I don't think Colgate's any good. I mean, they posted Stony Brook and lost by 21. I think William & Mary can muster enough to win on the road.
Yeah, Colgate sucks, and I assume Hollis Mathis is eventually back at some point, so I'm going to keep riding the tribe.
Let's see if Hollis Mathis played last week. This would be interesting to know because he is decent. It's loading, folks.
I saw a tweet that the sports – he did, okay. I saw a tweet that the William & Mary sports blog guys signed him to like an NIL deal. I don't know how like legit that is, but
he was not good against Lafayette, but they won. What the? They had like no yardage. It seems like it's incorrect. If it is correct, they beat Lafayette despite only getting 173 yards of offense.
What was the final?
24-3. They had it like an 80-yard interception return for a touch. They had two pick sixes. That game against Colgate is going to be disgusting. It's going to be like 13-6.
We both picked William & Mary, so let's go. Ooh, I know who you're picking for this one. Elon or App State? Elon.
Davis Cheek, I just don't know if Appalachian State. I know they've seen, technically speaking, they've seen De'Aaron King, but I don't know if that's the same as Davis Cheek. So I'll take Appalachian State by about 50.
Yeah, whatever App State is on this spread, pound it.
Yeah, right.
Delaware Rutgers.
I'm sneaky excited for this game because I feel like Delaware maybe could linger for a while, and you never know if they hang around and make some things happen. My thing is, like, I just don't trust them to actually be aggressive offensively. And Rutgers is, like, getting better. So I think Rutgers will probably end up pulling away pretty good.
Each time I have the team I'm going to pick in my mind, and each time you start talking up the other side, and I'm like, I'm going to do it. This is my chance to make a dent in his lead. Yeah, Rutgers. Here's the thing. I think they might be kind of evenly matched, but then it comes down to how many more scholarships Rutgers has.
Yeah.
And, like, in a game where you're kind of evenly matched, that's the biggest thing. Richmond, Villanova.
I'm making the mistake that literally everyone in the world does, which is buying into Villanova in September. But they've blasted two crappy teams. They won like 47-3 and 55-3. So I'm going to take them again. They're at home. I've been to that stadium, and gosh, can it get rowdy with the track around it and the old people in the stands. I mean, I don't know how you go in there and win. So I'll take Villanova.
All right. I believe in Joe Mancuso more than I believe in Daniel Smith.
Wow.
So I'm going the Spiders.
I do not hate that pick.
I think this is – Villanova might be exposed a few weeks earlier than they normally are.
I hope Villanova lingers for a long – we play them in that stretch, that tough stretch.
Yeah, we do.
I could – we might – hell, we might lose the next five.
We also might win the next 15.
I might actually next six. I forgot we had Elon after that, and Davis Cheek knows us.
All right, North Dakota State and the Towson. The Tigers.
Towson stinks. I'll take – it's in Towson, so that's interesting, I guess. But I don't think Towson's very good. I think North Dakota State will be pretty good eventually, so I'll take the Bison.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. Stony Brook travels out to Eugene, Oregon.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You didn't confirm that you're not taking Towson.
Oh, I'm taking North Dakota State. Sorry, I saw the Oregon on the CAA website and I got worried. Stony Brook's going to Eugene.
You got worried. If this game was in Long Island.
On. It's on Stony Long Brook. Island. You are on Long. You are from Connecticut. You should know that.
No, if this Island. Game was in Long Island, I would take Stony Brook by 21. But because this, that'd be a trap game. You beat Ohio State, then you got to go face the Long Island Express. And what's that coach's name?
Chuck Priori.
Chuck Priori. And he's pissed off. He's got his guys flying to the football. But it's in Eugene, so I think we're going to win by about 5 to 9 touchdowns.
Yeah.
As Oregon, a result of Opium.
Oregon is going to destroy
it's
them.
It's going to be so bad. This will be disgusting. Bloodbath.
I wonder what the spread is on that. They probably don't even have one because it's so like big. 40. JMU Weber State and score prediction, please.
JMU 38, Weber State 14.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they're going to smoke them.
You know what's crazy? All the years we've done CAA pick 'em, I don't think either one of us has ever picked against JMU.
Have they ever lost?
Yeah, they lost to Elon. They lost. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Do we have? Yeah, shit. What about? I think we did. We pick them to beat West Virginia.
We didn't do CAA pick 'em during that, so we only do conference games then. This is the first season we're doing all CAA games.
When's the last time they lost to
Elon?
Oh yeah, okay. Well, that one they should have won. We didn't anticipate the Dylan Stapleton.
That was the game we went into, and we said there might be the best JMU football team we've ever seen.
I think this one might be. Book it. No, if Cole plays the way he plays, the
defense isn't good enough.
Oh, the defense. Oh, they're good.
The secondary got shredded by Moorhead.
Yeah, and then he stepped up last week.
Yeah, and then Wesley McCormick went out.
Yeah, okay. Well, that could be interesting.
I think JMU wins this one. I think JMU wins 28-24.
Wow. Close game. How many overtimes?
I don't think it's close in the terms of like we're on the edge of our seats at the end. Right. I think it's close as in there's a garbage time touchdown with 56 seconds left to make exactly. It look more respectable.
Wow. We're in for a thriller in Eugene. And
Ogden. Did you mean
I went back to the page and looked at the Oregon one again. Oh my god. I can't believe they're playing Oregon. That's so it's hilarious when like a legit team pops up on this. You're like, whoa! What the hell are they doing there? Richmond's got Virginia Tech. Oh, next week is a lot of legit teams. Wow. Richmond plays Virginia Tech.
Why is the CAA all of a sudden this season like, you know where we want to go? Let's all go to the West Coast. Let's play against Oregon, San Diego State, Weber. What?
Towson, San Diego State is one of the dumbest matchups I've ever seen. Who decided that made any sense? God, that's horrible.
Mountain West after dark. Actually, it's a 3:30 kickoff. Never mind.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Stony Brook pegged off the Ducks. Chuck Priori knows that. He knows how to stop high-flying groups.
Here's he knows how to stop elite offenses that just took down arguably the best team in the country and handed Ryan Day his first regular season loss.
Hope Oregon handles that win well. Better not rush the field or any shit like that.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
We put on here Ratke record breaker.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. I did forget.
I almost forgot after I just was reminded.
As far as FCS kickers, he's now the highest scoring FCS kicker ever. And if he gets one more field goal, he sets the FCS record for most career made field goals. Here's a ridiculous stat. How many consecutive games do you think Ethan Ratke has made a field goal in?
Oh, probably. He didn't miss one last season. I don't think he missed the one before that. I'd say back in 2018.
He's had 23 consecutive games with at least one made field goal. Isn't that ridiculous?
Oh, wait, one made field goal. What about consecutive extra points?
In terms of – he probably hasn't missed it. Has he ever missed
one? You tell me.
I have no idea. He missed some field goals last year, like a couple random ones. And then in 2019, I think he might have had some misses. But the fact that he has made a field goal, at least one field goal in 23, like the fact that they've set never had a game where they just scored like 8 touchdowns and nothing else. Crazy. 23 consecutive games with a field goal.
Oh, I see the crazy part of this stat now. I understand.
How in the world? Conservative coaches. But he can also, it's also crazy because like 23 consecutive pretty much means that every game they play, he makes a field goal. So if he does that again, he'll break the record against Weber State, which is pretty cool.
That is awesome. Why can't I see his extra points?
Do they not include that? That'd be disappointing. But he's a great player.
I see the amount of extra points. I have to figure this out now.
He probably wouldn't want to miss one, so.
He's 9 for point afters. He's 9 for 9 against Moorhead. And 7 of 7 against.
That's like where it's hilarious that he's already broken the, like, a field goal kicker scoring record. The amount of kicks he scores and points he gets per game is just stupid.
Okay, I'm figuring out. He didn't miss one last season. 31 of 31.
Wow. This guy's reliable. He's ultra reliable. All reliable.
Fill the time. Fill the time as things are loading.
Oh, my gosh. Ethan Rathke, what a guy. He's really overshadowed.
Oh, no.
He missed one. Right. I like how we're saying, oh, no, like we just watched him miss one.
He's made 5, 7. This is great podcast.
He's whispering as you count. Is this how many he's made in a row? I'm going to say it's
16 plus 7. Go. 24
plus 23.
23.
29. 29. He's made 29 in a row?
No, he's made a lot more than that.
How do you know which one he missed?
So, depending on which one he missed.
Yeah.
At New Hampshire.
What year? Is this the year that Cole Johnson came in?
In 2019, I don't know, we scored 7 touchdowns.
He missed one in 2019?
He missed one back in 2019.
That's sloppy.
That is the game JMU won 54-16.
This was not the game I was thinking of. I'll look it up.
I'm figuring this out.
He had it. Nope. Oh, kick failed. Wow. You don't see that every day. I wonder how it failed. Do you think he just missed it?
Yes.
I don't believe that he can miss a kick. Best kicker in the game.
Okay, so he's then made 1.
It's probably like in the game notes.
It's fantastic podcast.
Counting. So I'm sure they listed somewhere. There's got to be just like absurd amount of Ethan Rathke sections in the game notes. Yep, there it is.
He made 80 in a row.
Wow.
He's now made 80 in a row.
If you're an NFL team, do you bring him in as your extra point kicker?
What's his long?
They claim he can go 50 plus this year, but I have to see it to believe it.
Here's a great question I love these thought starter questions on football Twitter. Would you rather have a kicker who could kick it from 70% out, 70 yards out, but he's about 50%? No. Or from 40 yards in, he's 100%?
I'll take the 40 yards in guy. Is he 50% from everywhere or just 70 yards out? Can I just sign Justin Tucker?
No.
No. Well, that sucks then.
In quick fantasy news, I crushed in fantasy this week.
Oh, yeah, this was actually really impressive. This was a guy that had been going after people. in the draft group chat. You beat him by about 100.
It was a good time. Okay. Quick whip around the sports here. Men's soccer had their win streak snapped against against NC State. Men's
His career goal. Long field goal is 48 yards.
Okay. Men's golf, they're about to start their season at the VCU shootout. Shout out to the women's golf team.
They're so good.
They are, like, really good at this whole golf thing. And are you ever going to write something on them or bring
Yeah, I got it. We got to talk to Tommy Baker. Got to get him on the podcast.
Yeah. Softball's to host dinner on the diamond. That's not important. Yeah, it was the William and Mary Invitational.
Softball to host dinner on the diamond. Field hockey took some losses. Did you talk about them yet?
No, you all you.
They've lost two in a row. Appalachian State loss is a little disappointing. Wake Forest is a good team, but they're 3-3. So maybe not quite living up right now to those preseason expectations. But they got time. They've got a lot of time.
He's got to break out of the funk and start playing well. Sophia Davis named CAA Defensive Player of the Week. Tyler Clegg named CAA Defensive Player of the Week. Clegg is soccer. Sophia Davis is volleyball. I think that's about it.
Yeah, I think that's it. Looking forward to the Weber State game and my rewatching of it, as I will not see it live.
You won't see it live?
The boys are headed to Chapel Hill for a 7:30 kick on Saturday.
Well, that's stupid.
I asked Bronco if he'd move it, and he said no.
I was going to say, does he know what game is on?
Bronco was really making me work this week. They were talking about they've been practicing at they're bad on the road, like really bad on the road. So they tried to go to different places to practice, and he wouldn't tell me where they went, so I had to figure it out on my own. Made me work.
Did you figure it out?
I did. He was like, it'll take you about 5 minutes. I could tell you, but it'd be fun if you had to do it.
He did not say that.
He did. I was like, okay. It took me more than 5 minutes.
How long did it take you?
I assumed they had gone to a high school and or a college. So I had asked like all the high schools and they're like, nope, 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 nope. And then I asked JMU and JMU was like, nope. And then it was the Washington football team facility in Richmond, which a player eventually told us on the next day. It was a little irritating. I was like, ah, yes, of course. I assumed they would just do a local thing and change it up, but they did that and then some others. Yeah, we'll see if it actually works against Sam Howell.
Well, Sam Howell sucks.
He was unbelievable against Georgia State. Future Lion.
What was that?
Future Lion. Actually, that's if they pick him over Cole.
That's also if, you know, Jeff Okuda is okay. I've seen it. That was a terrible way to bring Jeff Okuda into this conversation.
Ripping on our – look, all I'm going to say is the Lions are tied atop the NFC North.
At a crisp 0-1, whereas the Seahawks are tied atop the NFC West at a nice 1-0.
Matthew Stafford's going to break your heart this year.
He broke yours for a lot of years, so I guess it's just my time.
It wasn't his fault. He was just involved.
Your facial expression. If you're watching this on YouTube, his facial expression was just fantastic. But for all of the podcast listeners, he looked like such like he was just pure defeat. It wasn't his fault, okay? We tried as fans to give Stafford the life he deserved, but the Lions just refused.
And then Kelly Stafford goes on some podcast that might be her own, and she's talking about how it's the happiest he's ever been. It's like, you don't need to rub in the breakup. Like, he's doing great. All right, like, just we can see it. We don't need to also have you telling us this.
We saw the Rams absolutely put on a clinic on Sunday Night Football. We don't need to also be told how great he is.
Just the worst. That's the best division of quarterbacks, like, ever. Some Russ, of the throws.
Stafford, Kyler, and then, I mean, Jimmy G even had a good game.
Jimmy G's like, for like the worst quarterback in the division is very solid. And then you add in like Trey Lance is the really exciting prospect. It's crazy.
If you put Jimmy G in the NFC East, he would be the best. If you put him in the AFC.
Sleeping on Dak.
Oh, I forgot about Dak.
But you'd like Daniel. Can you imagine how much better the Giants would be if they had Garoppolo just not making stupid plays?
Could you imagine Jimmy G on the, almost said the wrong name, the Washington football team?
That would be a nice addition for them. But Heinicke, Speaking of ODU in a pipeline of football.
What about him?
He's the starter now.
Did they win week one?
They lost the Chargers. And Fitzmagic hurt his hip, which if you believe the rumors, he hurt his hip on a water slide weeks prior. And this was just an aggravation of it.
Okay.
Someone went on a radio show and said that they worked at the water park and they saw Fitzpatrick go 2 to 3 times a week during the summer. He went on the very fast slide.
I love that for him. I don't give a flying flahugameister if that's how he heard it. That is a great way to spend your summer.
Best radio hit ever.
I'm really glad this has just devolved into complete rambling. How does that go? Does someone message the radio station and go, hey, I have an inside source on Ryan Fitzpatrick's injury? WFAN, the fan?
They open up the lines, and then he called, and they put him on, I guess.
Hi, Mike from Alexandria.
Yeah, basically. it was awesome. And they're like, thanks for calling.
Speaking of unsubstantiated rumors that start from nowhere, DeAndre Swift murdered some people.
Completely made up. And then a bunch of people blew up this rumor by like some, the most confusing one is some guy who was like, his bio is like fantasy insider. He's like called the police department and they said he's okay. And it's like, why the hell are they telling you? Like, that's made up. And like, did you call because he's on your fantasy team? That would be kind of next level though. You call the police like, hey, like, should I drop this guy? Should I be picking up Jamal Williams? What's the deal here?
I mean, it doesn't matter because Jamal Williams still went off for 25 points.
Both of them had about 25 points. People are wondering if the Lions had the most lethal backfield duo in the NFL.
In fantasy, they might. In fantasy, they really might.
Jared Goff is in the top 5 in the NFL in passing yards per game.
You know something crazy?
Yeah.
I forgot to hit record on this.
You did, man. I saw you did.
Well, for Bennett Collin, my name's Jack Fitzpatrick. You guys have a wonderful rest of your day. See ya.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.